In the Bible, as you well know, there are 66 books. And in those 66 books, there are four books that we call the Gospels. The Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are called the Gospels. And the word gospel, that's a very interesting thing when we talk about gospel. Many times, you know, we just say, you know, the word gospel, it's talking about good news. Well, that is what gospel is talking about. But the word gospel actually comes from two words, and it means literally the unveiling of God's righteousness, which is good news. That's how we come up. You know, many times we think gospel, good news. Well, gospel is good news. It's the unveiling of God's righteousness, which is good news. Now, we have these four gospels, but three of these gospels are called the synoptic gospels. The synoptic gospels. You know all of this. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're called the synoptic gospels. And the word synopsis, of course, we think of it's just a synopsis of the life of Christ, but literally it means to see together. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they just kind of, the three kind of give a summary of the life of Jesus Christ. They're called the synoptic gospels. Now, the Gospel of John is different. In fact, take your bulletin with me this morning. In the introduction, I just mentioned some ways that it is different. The Gospel of John is so very different. Look in the bulletin. There's no genealogy, no birth account, no boyhood years, no description of Jesus' baptism, no mention of Jesus' temptations, no mention of the Transfiguration, nothing about the Last Supper, no Gethsemane, no Ascension. So John, what does he do? Because many things in his gospel are not in the synoptics, and many things in the synoptics are not in John's gospel. John's focus is on the deity of Jesus Christ. We're going to be talking about that this morning. It is a very, very wonderful thing. In fact, as you study the Gospel of John, which we begin this morning, and on Sunday morning and Sunday night, whether I'm preaching or John's preaching, we're going to do a series of messages through the Gospel of John. And I think it's going to be a wonderful thing. Each sermon will stand on its own. So if you miss one, you don't have to think, well, I missed that one, now I won't know what. No, each one of these sermons will stand on its own. But this morning, if you'll look with me, we're going to begin that little journey in John chapter number 1 in the very first verse. And what we're going to see as we study the Gospel of John, we're going to see that we can better see the visible Jesus helps us see the invisible God. That's the whole deal about the Gospel of John. Now, it begins by saying, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning. Now, this refers to eternity past. We've seen those words before. If you've just read the first words in the Bible, back in Genesis, in the beginning. Okay, that speaks of eternity past. We'll not turn to it, but over in John's little epistle, 1 John, it says, from the beginning. And that speaks of the beginning of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ as it first was preached. So that's not talking about eternity past. But here in the Gospel of John, it's talking about eternity past. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, verse 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, did not overcome it. We're going to be talking about that. So I wish you'd just take your bulletin this morning, and what we want to do is take those little five verses, what I want to do, what I feel God's put in my heart, and talk to you about what? About understanding who Jesus is. and you say, well, I already know who Jesus is. Well, good. Maybe you'll know a little better who Jesus is. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Number one thing I wish you would write down. Here's something that we learn, and that is Jesus is God. And just write that down. Jesus is God. And I think while I'm doing it, the screen people, you'll just, I think you do. Let me just go and fill in all the blanks right now while you're filling in blanks, and then we'll go back and deal with these blanks. The second thing we understand reading those verses, not only is Jesus God, Jesus is Creator. Jesus is Creator. Yes, He is, and we'll see that. Number three, we're going to see this morning, reading those verses, that Jesus is life. Jesus is life. You say, well, I don't understand that exactly. We're going to look at that. Number four, Jesus is, listen to this carefully, and I'll be back to it in a moment, the life changer. He is the life changer. Not a life changer. He's the life changer. And we're going to talk about that. Now, we've got our bulletin all filled in, so let's just kind of go back now and pick up with this number one. Jesus is God. Now, look with me in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. John doesn't tell us who this Word is. What John says is, in the beginning was the Word. Now, what is a Word? Well, a word, one way to understand a word, just if someone stops you, what is a word? A word is a unit of speech whereby we do what? Express ourselves to other people. That's what a word is. Words. What are words? Well, it's just a unit of speech whereby we express ourselves to other people. So, now what does John do here? He says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, the Greek word is logos. Logos. And that word logos is translated here as the word word. And it's a tremendous way. See, the Apostle John was not writing about speech. The Apostle John was writing about a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no better way to explain who Jesus is as he's talking about Jesus is God. Jesus is God's way of expressing himself to mankind. In fact, if you put your bulletin where we are and you turn with me, let's turn over in the book of Hebrews, and you know the verse, but mark it in your Bible. Turn over to the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, the very first verse or two. In Hebrews chapter 1, the writer says in verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by prophets. Now, that's before Jesus came to Bethlehem. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who, verse 3, being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And in the middle of that little verse 3, in the image of his person. Jesus is God. Now, you and I believe that, but we need to understand something. The Jewish people and the Jewish religion and the Jewish faith, they do not believe Jesus is God. They're still waiting on the Messiah. The Mormons do not believe Jesus is God. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe Jesus is God. There are many religions that do not believe that Jesus is God. They believe in the historical Jesus. They don't deny there's a person that lived in Nazareth named Jesus, but they say, but he's not God. This is what makes Christianity different from all other religions. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is God. You're in the Gospel of John. Turn with me over in chapter number 10, and just be sure you have this little verse marked, because Jesus helps us understand it in a wonderful way. In John chapter number 10, look in verse 30. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Turn over in chapter 14. You're in the neighborhood. Just turn over in chapter 14 and look down in verse number 9. Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me?" He's talking to Philip. And then look what Jesus said. "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And so it is a blessed, wonderful thing that as we try to understand Jesus, well, Jesus is God. And that changes everything about our theology. And I dare say you already came to church believing Jesus is God, but we just need to deepen the insight of that and realize the impact of that, because when Jesus tells us something, God's telling us something. And when we obey Jesus, we're obeying God because Jesus is God. Not only that, Jesus is Creator. He is the Creator. Look in verse number 3. You're back in John chapter 1. The Bible says all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In that one verse, it stated the same thing, said twice. All things were made through Him. Okay, time number 1. Time number 2, without Him nothing was made that was made. See, Jesus was not created. Jesus is the Creator. You might want to jot down Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. I'll just put down your bulletin. I'm going to flip over here my Bible and just read it. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, Paul kind of builds on that. Paul says, "For by Him," that is Jesus, "all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him." So as we try to understand Jesus, and many religions misunderstand Jesus. They say He's a great teacher, He lived a good life, and all these kind of things. But no, Jesus is God. And as we journey on in the little series, get down in verse 14, we see how He came to earth. But this morning, I just want us to fix in our mind that Jesus is God and Jesus is Creator. He participated in creation. Now, number 3, Jesus is life. L-I-F-E. Boy, this is where this thing becomes real to us, where you and I live. Verse 4 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now, this word life, if you underline in your Bible, you ought to underline that word. For example, here in John's gospel that we are reading and studying, the word life occurs 36 times. Actually, the word life is the central theme of the gospel of John. The most familiar verse in the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16, you know, talks about eternal life. This word life, the Greek word is zoe, spelled Z-O-E, but pronounced Z-O-A, zoe. And it is a different kind of life. It's not talking about our physical life. Zoe is talking about our spiritual life. Zoe is talking about a supernatural life. Zoe speaks of an overflowing life, overcoming life. It speaks of an eternal life. And this is who Jesus is. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. It is a tremendous thing. This Zoe is talking about the abundant life. You know, it's, you know, we all have physical life. That's a different word in the Bible. This is talking about spiritual life, where a person lives their life, whatever their physical situation may be, whatever their circumstances may be. The fact of the matter is what God does, what Jesus does, He transfers His life into our life. And look back what it has to say about His life. It says He was life, and the life was the light of men. And then, of course, in verse 5, it goes on to say, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." A better word would be overcome it. That'd be a better, more understandable translation than comprehend. Comprehend seems like you're trying to figure something out, but it's talking about overcoming. In other words, Jesus, even on the earth, He lived. There was so much darkness, just like today, there's so much darkness in the world in which you and I live. Well, there was darkness in the day in which Jesus lived, so much so they crucified Him. They had that mock trial, falsely accused. If you talk about darkness and the way he was crucified, the way he was shamed on the cross, the mockery, darkness everywhere. But this is a marvelous thing, because as you read the Gospels and read how Jesus handled all that, how did he handle all that? He overcame all that. That's what this verse is talking about. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So his light would shine wherever he was in his earthly life. Now, when we become a believer, he's the life changer. He transfers his life into our life. Now think with me a moment, because this is the practical part of what we're looking at this morning. And as we live not only in a world of much darkness, and we do, but in all of our lives, we have dark times. We have disappointing times. We have discouraging times. Dr. Kendall preached that sermon last Sunday morning about being unconscious of Jesus' presence, even though he is present. All of us have had those times, I dare think, that we've just wondered, like, where is God in this? I've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. This thing's not working out at all. I don't understand all that. Well, we have those times, but here's the deal. When we have the life of Jesus living in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit, then no matter what discouragement we go through, hard things we go through, disappointing things we go through, however dark things may be in our situation, the fact of the matter is we have living in us life, Zoe, this abundant life. You know, in John, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That word life is Zoe. It's this supernatural life. And so it means that in our own life, what can happen? Well, we can have light shine in the midst of our darkness. You know, in the flood, I've seen that so much. I saw that so much and still do see it. But especially when the flood first came and just saw people losing everything. And to see how people handle that, it's not that they weren't disappointed. It's not that they weren't heartbroken. No, not talking about that. But yet, in the midst of the mess, that's about the best way I know to describe that, a mess. Those who had life transferred to live in them said simply, the people that are really Christian people, sure they were broken about it, but a light came. And such witnesses, I saw so many people just, it was more than they could do in themselves. And I've seen that like so many ways, not just in flood, but in so many other things that have happened in life. And as a minister, you have the opportunity to be with families many times during their most difficult times. And even after the difficult time per se has, they move on. But you see some sad, yes, brokenhearted, yes, but there'll be light. This very thing, that there'll be this overcoming. And that's what God does in a person when he transfers his life into that person. All of you could get up and give testimony about this, about times that you've really been up against it, and times when in your own strength, this thing is beyond you. But what happened? You say, well, somehow, some way. Let me tell you how that somehow, some way is. That life, that Zoe, that has been transferred to live in you, what does he do? He gives light. It's supernatural. It's overflowing. It's overcoming. It's abundant. There's something different about you than there would be if you didn't have that life living in you. And we all can relate. And to me, that is the most marvelous, wonderful thing, to have your light shine. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And the more that he lives in you, abides in you, And the more your life is controlled by the Holy Spirit, the more your mind is filled daily with the Word of God, and the more you, with God's help, are seeking to obey what God teaches in the Bible, then the more light that's going to shine from your life. Now, I want to ask you this morning, don't raise your hand, don't say it out loud, but as you think about your life, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you're a Christian, I pray. If you're not sure, in a moment or two, you can be. But here's the deal. What kind of light are you? Maybe a 40 watt? Maybe a 60 watt? Maybe a 100 watt? I was thinking about that this morning. I was out walking. Just talking to the Lord, walking. Sometimes I thought, you know, my light's a flickering light. You know, we've had that problem in the worship center. Have y'all noticed the lights been flickering? Well, I got the group together this week and we fixed it for right now. We turned the flickering section off. It's out. I'm not saying that something else can't flicker, but brother, if that bunch we've turned off goes to flickering, I want you to know I love you, but I'm out of here. Because we're in serious trouble. I'll let the smarter people figure out how to fix the problem. But I thought when we turn that off, I thought, I'm preaching about that Sunday. We just turned the flickering lights off. You know, it might be this morning. I hope not. Your lights may be kind of off. Have you ever had time in your life, really? Think about it. In your Christian life, where your lights just kind of flickered and flickered and flickered, and finally, they're gone. You see, that's what happens. The moment that we move away from what the Word of God teaches us and begin to become casual and negligent about what God's Word teaches, it's just little by little. We don't even realize it's happening. You can say it a lot of different ways. We just kind of grow indifferent toward the things of God. And that happens. Oh, just think. I mean, the worst thing in the world could happen be all of our resident members come to church on the same Sunday. They couldn't get in the building. Many of them haven't been in years. Hadn't been in years. We need to pray for them. Not judge them, pray for them. But the deal this morning is not them, they're not here. I'm not preaching to them, I'm preaching to you. And I'm saying to you, don't think it can't happen to you. It can. It can. Because there is a devil going about like a roaring lion, and he is deceptive, deceiving, and he will get you from the blind side or head on. We just have to be on guard every day of our life. I want to encourage you this morning. Listen, look at the verse again. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. I encourage you this morning, look at John 16:8. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And whatever comes your way, and I have some of our finest members this week going through some tough stuff. Even late last night, one sent me a little text, said, well, this is what I've got to do this week. You know, looks like this thing's not working out too good. I text them back, same thing I've been texting them. Pray for them each day amongst others that have cancer that I pray for every day. And I just have verses. And what I'm saying to them is don't let that overcome you. Here's how you do that, though. We all know not to let something overcome us. How do you do that? You have his life, Zoe, living in you. And he's there, and what does he do? He gives out a light, not a 40 watt, not a 60 watt, not a 100 watt. No, bright light. That's what God will do and can do. I remember as a little boy growing up in the church, we used to sing this song, "This Little Light of Mine." I thought about singing it this morning, and I thought I better not do that. But I thought about it. But I do know the words. A little boy, you know, we didn't have all these great programs. I just grew up in a little country church, and all the kids every age went in the same room. We didn't know anything about two-year-olds and three-year-olds. You just pitched us in a room, there we were. And they promoted us from primaries to juniors, from juniors to intermediates. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, it's not important. Just don't worry about it. It's just how it used to be. But anyway, but as a little fella, I still remember, you know, I still, this little song, "This Little Light of Mine, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine, I'm going to let it shine, I'm going to let it shine till Jesus comes." And then we had choreography back where I grew up out in the little country church. It wasn't very advanced, but they taught us how to do this. Any of y'all remember that? "This little light of mine, this little light of mine." Lord, I burst out singing. "I'm going to let it shine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." You know what? You and I, we're all a little light. Serious. And what we need to do, I mean, we don't need to walk around doing that. We need to live our life being that. And I want to encourage you this morning. You are a light. If you're saved, and I hope you are, you have life, His life. Jesus is God, and He lives in you. And He, in your darkness, your difficulty, your disappointment, matters not. It's not you. It's Him living in you, and you can be this little old light. This little light, and you can just let it shine. Now, here's the deal. If Jesus is not in you, you don't have any life to shine. That's the deal. Now, you may just be a strong person, and you can do pretty good, but there'll be things come along you won't do pretty good. But with Him in you, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I've prayed that today there are going to be people that realize that they really are letting themselves believe that their religion is how they're going to heaven. When you die, and you will, you're going somewhere. And God wants you to go to heaven. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. And I prayed all week, God, Sunday, somehow, some way, may the Holy Spirit help people see religion is not the way to heaven. It's a relationship, and that relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not your righteousness. See, many people have this idea. I live a good life, a moral life. I support my family. I try to do right toward people. I try to obey the Ten Commandments. I try to live by the golden rule. All of that's wonderful. None of that will take you to heaven. If that's all you have, if that's your hope, if that's what you're going to one day stand before God and God say, "Why should I let you into heaven?" and you rattle off that list, you're not going to heaven. The only answer is you have trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sins. Could I have an amen to that? And I'm asking you this morning, listen, not if you joined the church, a church, any church, not if you've been baptized, none of that. I'm asking you, are you saved? Do you know for certain that when you die, you are going to heaven? And if you don't, I want you, all of you, to bow with me this morning. I'm just praying some people this morning are going to say, you know what? I've tried to do right, but the truth of the matter is I'm not sure I do know I'm saved. I've been in church for as long as I can remember, perhaps, but I really don't know. I just, as I listen to this whole matter, I'm not sure that I've ever had a time in my life where I've realized that I was a sinner, an enemy of God, and it broke me. It broke me. And I said, "Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and make me a Christian." Father, I'm praying this morning, oh Lord, what a wonderful gathering of your people here in this place. And with this number of people, God, we're talking to them, God, about their soul. God, would you, oh Holy Spirit, this morning, just speak to each person here, each mind, each heart. And God, may everyone here say, I know that I have trusted the good news that Jesus Christ died to pay my sin debt. And I've placed my faith and trust in Him and Him alone to save me. Now, if you're not sure of that, or if you've not done that, just pray that prayer this morning. Say, Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. May your life, your Zoe, come to live in me, enabling me, God, to be a light, to be an overcomer, to live an abundant life, an eternal life with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for Jesus. Some this morning, maybe you've not settled that. You're just not sure. We want to pray with you here in a moment, individually. Don't leave here not sure. Others of you this morning, you're saved. Then you're a light. For some of you, you'd be a brighter light if you'd put your life in God's church. Find your place to serve the Lord. Be able to invite others, family and friends, to come to your church. There's something special about God's church. I'll tell you what it is. And it's not a what, it's a who. It's Jesus. Jesus is head of the church. Anybody saved, if he's head of it, would want to be part of it. Some of you need to join the church. Others of you need to come for your baptism. You've trusted Jesus, but you've never followed in your baptism. You'll never have peace without obedience. Baptism doesn't save you, but baptism will give you a peace. Not only that, it will be a witness. It'll be a confession. The baptism itself. Some of you need to be baptized. Some of you are trusting religion, church membership, but you've never, ever really had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, others of us this morning, we know we're saved. The majority here know they're saved. But I pray this morning we would ask and be honest, what kind of voltage is our light? 40 amp, 60, 100, flickering. God, flickering will finally flicker no more. God, help us be bright lights because Jesus is in us, is my prayer in His precious name. Amen.